So we just read that article about what's his name, Al Sharpton, saying that he wants to be remembered as
the Martin Luther King of the North,
which I think is, you know, absurd.
Thank you.
But we were saying, like, you know, canonizing Martin Luther King Jr. is problematic, I think, because it's sometimes, you know, people forget, or when you look at King, you're like, he's untouchable. He's somebody that I can never reach.
It's a limit. It puts a limit on things.
Right. It's like, he's God, so I can never be God. But he's not. You know, he was a great man who did amazing work, and so can you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I think about that, too, for myself. Like, I look at those people, and I do think, like, I can never do that. But then I also think, why not? Like, why not me? Why not you? Like, what made them so appealing, so, you know, huge as in their role?
Yeah.
And I think it's because of that, you know, putting them on this, like, impossible pedestal. Deservingly so, but still.
Right.
You know, not allowing to say, like, you can also do it.
And that's what I think we don't do a good enough job of, is that it's just like you said, so they may be those individuals that should be on that pedestal, but we don't teach people how to reach the pedestal.
That's right.
Right? Like, that's what we have to start teaching, is teaching folks, how do you get to that space where you can do that?
Well, I think one way to do it, and this is something I do with my students all the time, I think I always tell them, you know, don't look at the finished product. That doesn't really give you a good implication of who this person is.
Yeah.
You know, you got to, and that's why, like, for me, I'm really big on transparency, or letting my students know, like, I don't know this, or this is what I had to go through. Like, you might see me now, right? But my first time I ever put a workshop together, it was terrible.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's getting a little better, but still, I'm going to look back and say the same thing in 5 years. So I think that's one of the ways we got to make sure we do that process of, like, this is what, like, Martin Luther King didn't want to be Martin Luther King. He just wanted to preach. He was a preacher. He didn't want to be the face of, you know, Black America. But that part, I don't think, is expressed as much as what he actually did afterwards.
Yeah, and then that's another thing, too, that we sometimes don't teach is, like, how you have to just take some responsibility, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where we, you know, when I think about Al Sharpton, like, he's done really great work, right? But you have to also take responsibility for some of the things that you didn't do. And you also have to take sometimes a responsibility for a community that that doesn't know they need it, right? So King was one of those guys who stepped up because they needed it. Mm-hmm. They needed it. And I think sometimes our students don't do that. You know what I'm saying? We don't, or at least we're not teaching enough of our students to say, listen, they need you. You know, so I always tell my students, like, you need to get, in the way that colleges are now today, you need to get a 3.0 and up GPA. Because if you don't do that, there's going to be a blockade on you,
right,
to do the real good work that you want to do. So you can be this amazing speaker and game changer, and then somebody will say, listen, you can't do this because you got a 2.5 GPA, or because you got
That's
a 2.1 GPA.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
So as much as we criticize maybe some of the emphasis on academics, right? Like, you look at scholarships, right? There are two types of scholarships mainly. One is academic, right? And then the other one is sports related. Where is the scholarship for the folks that were overly involved in high school? Maybe they not have as much of an interest in that are probably going to be more successful than the folks who are going to get that 3.5, that 3.7. And it's not that it's not valuable, but we got to teach them, at the very least, these are your minimum qualifications to do this. It's not right, but you still got to do it.
Right. And that's the thing. If you're not going to be fully revolutionary, then you got to play the game better.
Right.
You know, don't come out here. You can't be half a revolutionary. Right.
Right.
You got to be all in. And if you're not all in, then you got to play some of this game. And you got to play some of the game a little bit more effectively, man.
I mean, all weekend we've been talking about basketball, and I said some crazy things, which I take responsibility for. But I come from a place of, like, foundations.
Yeah.
So when I look at certain players, like, they might be fantastic, but they do a lot of things wrong. And I can't overlook some of the things they do wrong because they don't have foundations. Whether it's IQ or whether it's just playing good defense, I believe that I would rather have someone who is consistently great at their foundations than just great at one thing. Because I think that makes for just a well-rounded person. I think that for our students as well. Like, just do the little things right.
But you know, that's the thing, right? So, like, leadership, I think sometimes there's this thing, they used to call it, like, the Santa Clausification of leadership, right? Mm-hmm. Where you act as if Santa Claus was this mythical person who delivered all the gifts, right? Mm-hmm. But there was also the elves who made the gifts. There was the reindeers who drove through the snow with him. You know what I mean? Mrs. Claus plays a part in something. There, you know, there's the parents who left the cookies and the milk.
The parents got to play a role in that, right? They got to play the whole thing off.
And the thing is, as a leader, you're not going to always get the credit. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes you got to put yourself out there and say that this is what I'm going to be remembered for.
Yeah.
So I think that's what Al Sharpton was trying to do. You know what I mean? And say that this is what I truly want to be remembered for. And sometimes other people dictate his narrative, but that's not the narrative that he feels he is as a leader.
Right. And it's fun to have, right? But, like, that's the thing is that, you know, also with that whole Santa Claus thing is that you have to also recognize how many other people have played a part in your success or your demise. You know what I'm saying? So if the elves build poor gifts, then you're bad. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So sometimes you might be this great leader, but if you have, you know, these people that are around you that aren't doing it, I'm sorry, man. You have to take responsibility for them too, unfortunately. And in the same regards is that if the elves made these amazing gifts and everybody did their job perfectly, then you changed the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, King wasn't by himself doing all these things. You know what I'm saying?
So Martin Luther King wouldn't have took a selfie like Al Sharpton?
I mean, he might have.
I don't know. He might have.
He might have, right? So that's another thing too, is that the evolution of the leader, right? So I think that we've been trying to teach. I think personally, leadership has been taught in this very archaic, let's continue to do the things that worked or kind of worked 50, 60 years ago, but they really haven't truly worked 50, 60, you know what I'm saying?
What would you say is one of those things that worked 50 years ago that doesn't necessarily translate now?
I think like marketing, right? So like the... visually, you're just more visible today. I used to talk about, like, Michael Jackson, right? And I remember Michael Jackson. You used to see him growing up, like, 3 or 4 times on TV. Like, you never saw him.
It's like Eddie Murphy.
Right. They were just iconic because you just never saw them.
You never saw them.
Today, we just... I mean, like you said, Al Sharpton's taking selfies.
Right.
Well, I guess you kind of have to, right? I mean, that's the transition you're talking about. You know, maybe being visible to young people is also important for some of these folks. Because that's who's going to eventually... going to be remembering them.
So that's the thing, right? So Al Sharpton and many other leaders that I've recognized haven't quite nailed the idea of the young... Thank you, man.
Thank you.
They haven't really nailed...
just one coffee and an apple juice.
They haven't really nailed the whole idea of young development, right? So it's like, I don't know how... So this, just because I took a selfie doesn't mean I'm in it.
Right.
Just because I'm in the sauce, right? So, like, maybe we don't want a selfie from Al Sharpton. Maybe that's not it. You know what I mean? Maybe we want something else. Maybe he should have an Instagram account.
Was he sending that selfie to a woman? I mean, do we even know why he took the selfie? Was that for...
But it got viral. He posted it, though, didn't he? I think he posted it. I don't know. But...
it was an awkward picture.
I just think that that's the thing, right? So I think that's number one. I think you're so overly visible these days.
And you're saying that's a bad thing?
It's a thing that we haven't adjusted to well.
Okay.
So, like, in the 60s, you could get away with certain things. Mm. You could act certain ways. Today, it's just like everything's around. There's no privacy. So since there's no privacy, you have to start acting...
you're humanized.
Yeah. In a way, yeah. Yeah, one, you're humanized, right? These people, but information spreads so quickly that I feel like your legacy... you know, if you're not acting right, man, like, your legacy can be shut down quick. I mean, I don't want to, you know, we look at, like, Mark Cuban. I mean, this guy is, like, electrifying. He's on Shark Tank, investing, all, and then a few scandals come out, man.
Well, King, I mean, Martin Luther King was called an adulterer, right?
Yes, that's true.
And had he been around today, we don't know what his legacy is.
And also culturally, too. I mean, that wasn't... a time or place where women could come out and say those things.
Right, it's a different era. So right, I think that's the biggest thing is that as the leaders have been humanized, have we adjusted? And I don't know if we have. You know what I'm saying? So I think, like, that's a big thing. I also think the tactics, right? So I also think, like, you know, we're still marching in the streets, right? And to me, that's one of those things that just it does not work.
Right.
It's not as impactful.
It's not as effective.
See, I disagree with that.
Okay.
Because I think we've been talking about how, you know, like this whole like thoughts and prayers movement and this whole like, oh, you post a status and that is activism. Some people believe like, oh, I changed my Facebook, you know, background or whatever to support LGBTQ people and all that. And that to me is not effective.
Yes, it is.
I don't think so.
Why not?
Because I think the numbers, like seeing people in the streets show that people are willing to leave their house, which is something that this generation is not necessarily doing, and interacting and actually doing something other than tweet. So while it may not be effective in doing what it's supposed to do, I think it is powerful to still see those young people go out and be in the streets to show that they are doing more than just tweeting.
Agreed. But I don't think that we should knock those that do it by using their social media platform. You know what I mean? Because now it's just different because it's marketing, right? It's the way information is transported to people. You know, a long time ago, people went outside and protest. Why? There's probably some people that said people only protest just to get on TV and be in the news. Mm-hmm. Just like we're saying, mm-hmm. some people only post just to be on social media. But that's the platform people are on. So you're telling me that if 100 people just went to H&M and protest, for example, the hoodie, it wouldn't have been as effective as somebody tweeting about it and going viral in an hour. And it almost sometimes some things are protested about now because social media makes it happen quicker. You know what I mean? Like now it could be in a week that mm-hmm. we're going out there and protest. So I agree with you. I just don't want people to shun away or stop using or we tell people they should be out there in the street. Some people just can't, right? And some people just use their platform because their platform is more powerful than them going out there and marching.
Yeah, but I think we're saying the same thing because what I'm saying, I guess what I'm ultimately saying is that, you know, having a voice on social media shouldn't be the only thing. Like, you should be an activist in Agreed. Different ways that you should be. But, however, I think that before, when you were out, the only way you could be an activist, is for you to actually do the work, for you to actually travel, be in those rallies and whatever it is, or maybe, like, writing for a newspaper. And now, I think we've gotten comfortable where it's like, I'll go on Twitter and be like, oh, I'm angry at this, and that's it. That's the end of Agreed. My activism. So I think there needs to be both. And I don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And I think like numbers do matter, but I think that's where we run into the problem is that I think people expect the numbers. So I think like the folks that you're often trying to deter or trying to prove wrong, they know it. So even if 1 million people come out, I think you got to like shut down streets, man. Like you got to really say like, you know what I mean? So it's got to be like,
you got to have meetings.
Yeah.
It's got to be more structured.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's happening.
Yeah, it is.
Certain spaces. Yeah.
I mean, working. I think the meetings, too. I mean, that's happening on social media, which I love. So it's
happening
now,
in person,
no, it's happening in person.
It's happening in person, too.
Oh, okay.
It is. So I think, like, that's important. So I think, like, there are some things that we can take from, let's say, the 60s civil rights, and we can talk mm-hmm. about the women's movement in the 70s, and we can talk about those things that still work. But, you know, what's the next step? So I think that, you know, we have to start training our leaders to think more transformatively, to think more more with the mindset that, you know, you're in a different world. You know what I mean? Like, that's that whole Jordan LeBron conversation sometimes is, yeah, Jordan might have been a better player, but how does Jordan react to somebody tweeting about him?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
We don't know.
We don't know. You know what I'm saying? All we can know is that based off of his mm-hmm. his behavior, he
all
wouldn't
the
have liked it.
Talk about his gambling.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
Hold on.
So we have to have our leaders be prepared to deal with 24-hour coverage.
Yeah.
Like, all the time. And, yeah. you know, when I was teaching RAs, I say you're an RA 24-7. Like, you're always on duty. And I think that's where we have to go. Our leaders have to always be on call. Always got to be on duty, man. What?